Welcome to an Agency Story Podcast, where we share real stories of marketing agency owners from around the world. From the excitement of starting up, the first big sale, passion, doubt, fear, freedom, and the emotional roller coaster of growth. Hear it all on an Agency Story Podcast. An Agency Story Podcast is hosted by Russell Dupree, successful agency owner with an eight-figure exit turned business coach. Enjoy the next agency story.
Welcome to an Agency Story Podcast. I'm your host, Russell. On this week's episode, we have Wendell Jordan, owner of Jordan Marketing Consultants, an up-and-coming SEO agency with a focus on local search engine optimization based out of Houston, Texas. From NBA dreams to finding himself as an out-of-work salesman, Wendell never anticipated finding himself as an agency owner. Music, marketing, and a whole lot in between, Wendell takes us on his personal journey of finding his roots and collaborating with others along the way. Enjoy the story. Welcome to the show, everyone. Today, I have Wendell Jordan with Jordan Marketing Consultants. Thanks for being on the show today, Jordan.
Yes, sir. It is my pleasure.
I called you Jordan.
People say Jordan all the time, especially because Jordan Marketing Consultants, it works because my grandfather and my dad were blue-collar workers. So they were called by their last name. It worked. I'm keeping the tradition alive, man.
There you go. I always end up gravitating towards someone else's nickname or last name.
I dig it.
A sign of friendship. Start us off with a quick overview. What does Jordan Marketing Consultants do and who do you do it for?
We are an SEO agency with a focus in local search engine optimization, SEO being search engine optimization. Our favorite clients are the businesses all over the country that service a specific location in their region. It's the plumber who was only going to a certain part of town, the electrician, the HVAC, the roofer. We're in Houston. It's really broken down into quadrants here in Houston. I always explain to those that I talk to here in the city, you don't want to travel from one side of town to the other for one job, right? We're the agency that helps you remove that hour and a half commute per job.
Commuter stopper. There's a tagline for you. What were you doing before you got into the agency space? Did you always know entrepreneurship was going to be in your path? What was young Jordan thinking about?
Young Jordan was a professional athlete. I was just laughing with someone who had the same aspirations, who owns an agency as well. As a teenager, me and my friends knew we were going to be professional basketball players. That kind of fizzled out 18, 19 years old. Started getting into music for a while. Had moderate success. Was a manager in music. That was probably my first venture into selling anything. Moved on to being a door-to-door salesman for what was then called Verizon on the East Coast and then what was then called Time Warner Cable. Had no idea that a website would ever be a thing for me. We built a website back when I was in the music space, and it was the most time-consuming, convoluted thing that I had ever encountered. This is a many year ago. And a basic site from Joe Schmo was going to be $2,000-$3,000. Now you can even find people to build a site for $500. It transcended here. I remember the first sites I played with, and I hated every moment of it.
What was your first venture into the agency world? What actually got you on that path?
I get fired from Time Warner Cable, and one of my childhood friends reaches out. Hey, I make websites. Do you want to be partners? And you sell them, I'll build them. My first answer was no, absolutely not. I'm not doing that. I don't understand websites. It sounds stupid. And he tells me we're going to be rich. People buy sites for $3,000, $4,000, $5,000. I'm like, oh, okay, then maybe. That could be a couple sites a month. Easy. We started doing that. We had an agency. We were full service. So we did everything from logos to websites to some social media management. We ran some ads for some clients. That is how I ventured into this agency space, was as the business development person for an agency that I was a partner in. I was fortunate enough to actually build a sales team through that agency. We built two sales teams, two separate times, commission-only sales teams nonetheless, and they were moderately successful. I try to have some humility, but they did all right for some people who didn't understand web design that were able to be coached up.
Often the hardest part of the business is the sales anyway, so that's really cool.
Yes.
That venture wasn't meant to be. What happened there? How did that dissolve? And then what did you decide to do next?
My old partner and I, we're going in two different directions. We decided to part ways. I was living in St. Louis at the time and decided to become a freelancer. I didn't want the entrepreneurial adventure to stop. So I kept the party going. I actually had an opportunity to work for a recruiting company at that time. And the base was like 50, maybe 55K, which again, in St. Louis is really good money. I was kind of straddling the fence on it, whether or not it would happen. I was like, no, I can't imagine having to get dressed and go to meetings and all these things that I had avoided for so many years, being my own boss. We were work from home before work from home was a phrase. Started something called Jordan Consults. It was really me freelancing with a business name. I had my first client, someone I met in a meetup group. They wanted a website. I think I charged them maybe $500 for the site build. I had built a couple of sites by myself. My partner for years was doing it, but I had learned some stuff inside of WordPress. So I thought I was good enough to build the site. Hindsight, I wasn't. That is how it pivoted from there. And started trying to be full service, trying to do everything, but realized that being everything for everyone is an awesome concept. If you have a team and people who are specialists, I knew WordPress and I knew sales. So I really wanted to focus on building websites and also teaching small business owners how to sell their product or service. Like you said, the toughest thing I think in any business is the sales, because you have to be able to get that person to unearth the debit card, the cash. Most people don't have the skill set naturally.
Typical of many agencies, you started out doing anything and everything. At some point, you came to the realization you needed to rethink that approach and ended up landing in SEO. How did you get to that decision? What was the final straw that got you there?
Jordan Consults lived for a little while. Right before the pandemic, I got tired of people saying Jordan Consultants. I got tired of some of the mislabeling. The consults piece all those years ago was meant to be the sales consultant. Repositioned it because we had built a ton of websites over the years, rebranded as Jordan Marketing Consultants. Did that for about 2 years as Jordan Marketing Consultants and focused in hard on building websites. Late last year, I was starting to get burned out from all the client conversations with the subjectivity of color. How come we have to have a button above the fold? Things that are fair because it's art, right? We don't like to believe that a website is art, because there are things that help you with conversion and everything else, but this is someone's art project at the end of the day. How do I tell you that your button should be the brand blue versus a flat black? How do I articulate that in a way that makes sense to the guy who's a cleaner? He owns a cleaning company. He doesn't really care, but he doesn't want his buttons to be blue either. Taking that and then moving into joining a referral networking group and finding someone who did it better than I did, watching their process, seeing how much we didn't know, and knowing how good we would be at SEO, I started taking on SEO clients and haven't looked back since.
Where did you pick up your experience in SEO? How did you become proficient in that as a skill? Because I know that's quite a tricky art.
Wild part is, back when I had the business partner, we actually pivoted. The original company was called Influence Media. And then we pivoted to Influence Local. We were supposed to be this locally branded company. We were still based in New York. I started learning a little bit about what local SEO meant. It really wasn't a term. It was just SEO for local businesses. People really weren't using the terms. When I started doing things myself, I created a product for the company. Once I was Jordan Consults, that had an SEO model to it. I started using a couple of softwares, started taking a few courses within the softwares, understanding what the red and the green arrows meant, what was a local pack, what was SERP and everything else, and then found SEMrush, started digging deeper into SEMrush. Even to this day, I'm still looking at different coursework. I'm a nerd, so I'm always trying to learn something, but it's important to learn traditional technique, proper terminology, which is something that, frankly, I struggle with because I didn't learn it in a traditional fashion. I learned it through piecemealing a lot of stuff together and getting results. Now, in the last couple of years, I've been spending a lot more time honing in on what some of these technical terms are. I find myself in conversations sometimes with SEOs who have way more experience than I do, and they're using terms. I'm like, I don't know if I've heard it that way. And then when I articulate what I understand, their response is, hey, you get it. That's just what it's called. Oh, okay. And now that is the main focus, especially considering we are an SEO agency, spending a whole lot of time making sure that we are best practice, best in breed, and we're growing. I got to make sure to be able to articulate this stuff to a team and not just me, myself, and I.
Makes perfect sense. I went through the same experience. I always handled the accounting for the business. I had no background, no training in accounting whatsoever. I eventually took a few courses. And I was like, oh, that's what that's called. I understand this was a recent transition to be more solely focused on SEO. Once you made that, has it worked out? Are you solidified in your mind that's the way to go?
What I would say first is it was the scariest decision that I made, aside from not taking the $55,000 a year job with benefits. I was raised in the entrepreneurial space where you don't leave money on the table. That's why you're full service, because you don't want to leave money on the table. There's money everywhere. How dare you only do one thing? It was terrifying. And I remember when I started articulating to people that we were going to be an SEO agency. I used to have to give the disclaimer. We used to be full service, but now we only, I feel like I had to validate that. The real transition into a solely SEO agency came earlier this year. Here we are just a few months later, and we've grown exponentially. This is the biggest growth that we've had in a year's time since I've been doing this. I credit all of it to being hyper-focused. The thing that I've learned is we're able to have so many conversations with other agencies that just never happened. There was never a natural synergy or conversation between agencies because you don't really want to talk to your competition too much. You might slip up, they're going to slip up, and then everyone will have to see secret sauce. Whereas being solely SEO, I'll say it, my SEO community is way nicer than the digital marketing agency as a whole. I've met quite a few SEOs who have been more than willing to talk shop with me. Some of those conversations were in the capacity of them outsourcing some of their overflow. But those that there was an opportunity for me to work with them, shoot, a couple of them, we got the same kind of client. And I'm talking to these people for an hour and a half on the phone, talking shop, talking about some of the crazy stuff we experience as SEOs, talking to people who talk to some of the bigger agencies or maybe even a freelancer who was doing black hat stuff or whatever it may be. This experience in pivoting into being solely an SEO agency has been amazing. It has turned out to be something I wish I would have did a while ago because I always wanted to focus on one thing, but I was always scared to because, again, coming up in this entrepreneurial space, my thought was always, we don't leave money on the table.
I think most folks that do end up niching feel a lot the same reservation of all of a sudden, you've got to exclude people. We always talk about who are you including rather than who you're excluding. I also say that as a wake-up call maybe to the non-SEO agencies out there that maybe they need to be more collaborative is maybe one of the underlying things that I heard there. Hear that, folks. If you're not an SEO company, check your collaboration.
Yeah, there. Man. Talk to other agencies because there's enough for everyone. I'm a big believer at this point in my life where you can't take anything that's mine. I can't take anything that's yours. So if we're talking shop, whether it be about web design, about anything, the only thing it does is make us better. I don't have to worry about finding out how you're getting your clients and then magically taking yours because I can't take yours. They're not mine. I don't think that's the way life functions.
You made the big leap in terms of niching in SEO. Do you think you'll find yourself eventually positioning even further by a particular industry or other subset? How are you looking at that now?
That is the latest thing we're playing with is what verticals do we enjoy? Right now, we're pretty wide spanning. The other fortunate thing about having some agency partners is industries that have long sales cycles that may take us a little bit longer to get into, they're falling in our lap right now because this agency's already done all the work and now we get to do the SEO. Our biggest thing is the home service industry, but as our team grows, I think that we will have the opportunity to almost have subset. In a perfect world, we'll be able to keep this local SEO aspect. And again, it's not that we don't offer international or national SEO, but local SEO, it's hyper-specific. Some would argue it's probably one of the harder disciplines. The fact is a little bit different, but I enjoy it because we help local business. All of my clients that are local SEO clients, I know the owner. I'm talking to them about stuff, whereas some of the national campaigns, and we have one international that should be rolling through soon, the conversation is just different because the companies are bigger. I would love to be able to see that fan out on all three platforms where we have a team that still focuses on local SEO and we're still able to take on plenty of the bigger stuff and frankly, be able to offer the local SEO to smaller businesses at a lower cost because that's the toughest part in being a business owner, figuring out how are you going to pay for this, whatever this is.
Magic price point. Almost seems like you're a born again agency owner and you're finding your niche and the success you've had with that. What are you looking forward to the most over the next 2 to 3 years?
Next 2 to 3 years, that growth aspect. The most exciting and scary thing is having one SEO that works with me and being able to hire another one. Going from the freelancer to the agency owner, being able to fill in the organizational chart that I've created and figuring out when do we implement this piece and that piece? When does that project manager remove me from being the project manager? That's the most exciting thing for me is being able to see this thing grow some more over the next maybe 2 or 3 years. It'll be seeing what it looks like to not have to spin all the plates at the same time because I still do spin quite a few of them. In a couple of years, I do see myself being a little more removed. And it's a wild thought to think that somebody else will be doing everything. I don't even know what I'll be doing then. How do I stay employed at my company if I'm not doing anything?
You can collect your money checks from somewhere on a beach, maybe. What's your biggest inspiration, or who or what's been your biggest influence as you've gone about this role as entrepreneur and agency owner?
I think today my biggest inspiration is my family, my children, and being able to show them a non-traditional way. I've always been a rebel without a pause, but the older you get, you got to chill out the rebelling. You got to conform a little bit. Today, that is one of my biggest inspirations, being able to show my children an alternative route. Not that I want them to be entrepreneurs per se, but I want them to know that whatever the traditional space is for their time, as every generation comes, the most straight road tends to be a different one. That in my current space is a big inspiration. As far as being an entrepreneur, thinking all the way back, the only thing I knew was being a rebel without a pause. It was hard working. I worked a few jobs and it was like, we could be doing this better, but y'all are telling me that this is the only way we can do it because someone else said so, that doesn't even work at our level anymore. I still struggle with that answer. I don't know if it's a specific person or even an event, but today it's my family, is making sure that my children and some of the younger cousins can see that there is an alternative route.
Nothing wrong with that. Be a role model, beacon or a buoy for success that they can model after one way or another. So what does success look like for you? What is the big goal here? What are you trying to accomplish?
I think that is a moving target. If you ask me that when I still lived in St. Louis, it was just a monetary goal. It was, I want to do, and at the time we were doing like little to no money. So don't laugh at my number. I want to be able to do $5,000 a month. Right? It was big. And even then that number ebbed and flowed depending on the responsibility. Today it's more about scaling this thing to the point where it's something that is tangible for me to be able to step away from if my children want it, if a relative wants it. If I just want to sell it, I want something that is viable. I hope to be able to leave a strong enough mark in the space of SEO and small business that changes the way some of the more muddier things happen. Hearing those horror stories, wanting to be that beacon where it's like, hey, man, we all aren't like this. I hope to be the person that you can reference like, no, Jordan Marketing Consultants, they don't do it like that. I want to make sure that is something that we are always proud of.
Last question for you. Are entrepreneurs born or are they made?
I would say probably 70-30. Entrepreneurs got to be 70% born, 30% you can make it into it. There's a certain stick-to-itiveness. There's a willingness for risk that some people just aren't born with. I know quite a few people that I think would be okay freelancing a little bit, but knowing that you have to hunt and kill in order to eat is not for everyone. Some people, the comfort of every 2 weeks, every week, every month payments are perfect. But sure, in order to be an entrepreneur, you have to be able to look around and go, I don't feel like doing it today, but I got to do it today. I may not feel like doing it tomorrow. I got to do it tomorrow. And then as this thing grows, I'm now responsible for 15 people. And right now I'm responsible for 5 other people to eat. Everybody can't handle that kind of responsibility. So I would say 70-30. I do think there is a way for you to be able to grow it, but I think you got to have a baseline.
That's really great. Most people say 50-50. I like the 70-30. That's a more scientific thought. That sounds like a number an SEO person would do.
Yeah, I think 70-30 is real, man. I know a lot of people who are amazing employees, amazing workers, but even them watching my entrepreneurial journey, they're okay with saying, I could never do this. What you're doing is insane. I get it.
It's a different world. Absolutely. If people want to know more about Jordan Marketing Consultants, where can they go?
Hit us up on LinkedIn, man. We are Jordan Marketing Consultants on LinkedIn. You can look up Wendell Jordan Jr. on LinkedIn. We put a lot of content out there, a lot of free tips and tricks, a lot of information. I share some stuff from some of those awesome SEOs that I was talking about earlier. It's a great way to start that connection. Start following us, get connected with me on LinkedIn, and let's build a relationship.
There you go, folks. There you have it. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Wendell. It was an absolute pleasure to meet you and hear your story. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate you.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of an Agency Story podcast, where we share real stories of marketing agency owners from around the world. Are you interested in being a guest on the show? Send an email to podcast@performancefaction.com. An Agency Story is brought to you by Performance Faction. Performance Faction offers services to help agency owners grow their business to $5 million and more in revenue. To learn more, visit performancefaction.com.
My old business partner, he finally convinces me to start doing the website thing. And he tells me to look in my book of business, is what he called it. Again, I'm a door-to-door salesman. I don't have a book of business. That said, I go to this barbershop in the neighborhood all the time. I know both the owners. They don't have a website. I hear him talking about how he needs one. I go, I meet with them. We talk. I go back and my partner asks me, what did you quote him? I'm like, $250. So he's like, you're kidding, right? What more? I'm like, no, that's it. I go back tomorrow to get our deposit. It's 50%. So the hundred and whatever dollars, and we split this money in half. We're both getting a buck and some change on each side. We get it. He has no content. He doesn't even have a logo for real. Mind you, he has signage. He has an awning with a logo, but he does not know where that logo file is. Great. Now, my business partner was doing all the work. He's got to create the logo. He's got to do the copy. He's got to find any stock photos that we're going to use. $100-something. We finished the site. He's dragging it. And when I tell you, probably for the next 18 or so months, he would reach out to us for updates and edits and never paid a dime. He got about 3 years worth of web design service for $250.
Bargain of the century.
Yeah, it was the first time I ever sold. $250. I used to tell my sales team when they would tell me about how nervous they were about selling sites. I'm like, you can't do worse than that.